Welcome to Landmark Ministries. Thank you for joining us today as we prepare our hearts for yet another in-depth look into the Word of God. We hope this message gives you encouragement and brings you closer to the power of Jesus. We're so glad you're here today. God is calling your name. We've been studying through the Bible book by book, learning more and more about God's love and plan for us. Thanks again for being here. Enjoy today's message.
It's a pleasure to be here with you this morning. We're going to be studying the temptations of Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. And I must say, when I was asked to be a part of this Matthew series, and that I would be teaching on the temptations of Christ, I remembered thinking, oh yeah, this was about Jesus showing us how to use the Word of God against temptations we face in our own lives. And I said to myself, this is going to be a cakewalk. Well, can I just say, it's so much more deeper and foundational than I ever realized. And I'm so thankful that I've had others walk with me, and I didn't have to do this alone. I'm excited to bring you the word from the mouth of God this morning. I hope I can stay calm. And by the way, this is going to be the fourth message that we're going to find ourselves in Genesis. It's almost like everything points to Genesis and then to the cross. Just saying, I'm starting to see a pattern. Our big idea this morning that I hope we see is this. Trusting in Jesus means trusting in every word from God's mouth. Before we get started, let's remember the picture that Matthew wanted us to see. In chapter 1, it says, or he tells us that Jesus, not Israel, Jesus is the true promised son of Abraham's family tree. And in chapter 2, after being chased to Egypt by Herod, Jesus comes out of Egypt in victory like Israel had. And in chapter 3, we learn that Jesus came through the waters of baptism like Israel had crossed the Red Sea. So let's take a look in verses 1 and 2. Where it says that Jesus is being led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. This shows us the humanity of Jesus. Remember, Jesus is fully God and fully man. He was weak, and as anyone would be, he was hungry. And here comes Satan to tempt Jesus for 40 days, like Satan tempted Israel for 40 years. But where Israel failed over and over, Jesus succeeded. In verse 3, it says, Satan says, if you're the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. Now the devil knows that he is the Son of God. But let's be reminded what that meant. We often think it's about him being fully God. But in this case, it's more about Jesus being a fully human being who trusted God in faith, by faith. He trusted God by faith. During Jesus' baptism, God was repeating what he said to Moses back in Exodus chapter 4 and verse 22, where he said, then you shall say to Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my firstborn son. So Satan was saying, if you really are this special person, if you really are the better Adam, the better Israel, this perfect servant, the Lord that we've been expecting, then let's make you shine. This raises a question. When have you ever let the hype of who you are or what you can do go to your head? And how can that keep us from living in loving relationships with God and neighbor? Jesus responded in verse 4 by saying, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Now, before we jump to conclusions, realize that Jesus was quoting Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, where Moses told Israel, "God humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but men live by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." So, this wasn't about Jesus using his God powers. It was about whether he would trust God to supply every need or be like Israel, who grumbled and complained until God fed them. I also find it interesting that Jesus called the Bible the mouth of God. I've never thought about it like that. It adds a little bit more meaning, doesn't it? I mean, when you read from God's word, do you hear it and trust it like those words directly from God's mouth? Next, Satan is going to get a little bit more craftier when he takes Jesus to the holy city and has him stand on the highest point of the temple. In verses 5 and 7, it says this: "Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone.' Jesus said to him, 'Again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Now, according to Jesus, this temptation was not about putting God through ridiculous tests. It's also about not taking Scripture out of context. Satan was right about the angel stuff there in Psalms 91. What's scary is that he knows the Word of God really well, which makes him really good at confusing us. But is what Satan doesn't understand is that you don't pit Scripture against Scripture. You use Scripture to interpret Scripture. Jesus did not need to jump off the temple to prove that Psalm 91 was true. That came from the mouth of God. But so did Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 16. Where God told Israel, "You shall not put the Lord your God to the test as you tested him in Massa." You see, Israel grumbled in Exodus 17 about not having water and basically said, "If God doesn't perform a miracle here and now, then we won't trust him." Jesus didn't have to jump to know who he is. That came from the mouth of God. Jesus didn't have to jump to know that the angels were assigned to protect him. That came from the mouth of God. I wonder, when have you ever been tempted to command God to perform rather than just trusting in his written word or his past works? Next, verses 8 through 11 say, "Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, 'All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me.' Then Jesus said to him, 'Begone, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.' Then the devil left him, and behold, the angels came and were ministering to him." That's pretty interesting. The angels ended up doing exactly what God had promised. Here we see that in these temptations were really about convincing Jesus to follow his own dreams instead of entrusting himself to the story that God had spoken over him at his baptism. The story where he was a part of something bigger than himself. And it's more than one super person who doesn't need others. You and I face this temptation all the time. And I wonder, when was the last time that you were tempted to believe that you didn't need others? Finally, let's connect all the dots. Adam and Eve failed their test in the garden when God said to them, "You can eat of any tree except for the central one, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." And Satan comes along and says, "Did God really say that? Surely you won't die." He convinced them to not believe what God had said. And they took the forbidden fruit, and sin entered the world. And all who came after them are born into sin, and we keep repeating their grave error. Think about it. When have you acted more like the first humans than like Jesus, who trusted every word from God's mouth? Next, we move on to the nation of Israel. You remember the story. They were held captive. They were in bondage to Egypt. God sent Moses, 10 plagues. "Let my people go." And finally, Pharaoh lets his people go. And God takes them out and over the Red Sea and into the wilderness. God feeds them with manna. He takes care of them. He's with them by day and he's with them by night. God promises them their own land of milk and honey, and promised that it would happen if they would just follow the plan in faith. Like us, fear kept them from trusting God's word. After all he had brought them through, they failed the test, and for 40 years they wandered around the wilderness, and a whole generation had died who never got to see God's promise fulfilled. If I could set the stage by using some military terms for my brothers and sisters that have been in the military, here's how I would say it. Time began in a garden, which was turned into the wilderness of spiritual warfare. The divine director of military operations, the Holy Spirit, led the great general, Jesus Christ, into the wilderness to face down the enemy. The Spirit is the connecting link between the heavenly operations and the battlefield. The general, Jesus Christ, the new Adam, entered enemy-occupied territory, as the scriptures say in Genesis 3:15. "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." Here we see the way that Jesus won that cosmic battle, and how we can participate in this victory by grace, activated through faith. The connections are clear. Adam and Eve failed Satan's tricks. Israel failed Satan's tricks. Jesus did not fail Satan's tricks. Amen. He's trusting every word from God's mouth. In Hebrews 4:15, says Jesus can empathize with our weakness because he has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. This means Jesus not only understands every temptation that we could ever experience, but most importantly, that he is the perfect partner to help us keep trusting what comes from mouth God instead of the voices of created creatures. So what is Satan's goal? Satan wants us to forget the story that God spoke over Jesus and over us at our baptism. He uses the voices of this world to say things like, you be you. Forget about who God says you are or about the dreams that he has for you. Professor N.T. Wright said this, these suggestions are ways of distorting true vocation. The vocation to be a truly human being, to be God's person, to be a servant to the world and to others. This study has forever changed my thinking. And I look forward to reading more scripture because I'll be looking at it through a different lens and through a different light. But for now, remember, wherever you are in your walk in trusting Jesus Christ, you don't have to go through it alone. Reach out and let us help. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I am overwhelmed. You have connected scriptures that I have learned in my life and gave them purpose to me. My heart will forever be changed. I thank you for that, Lord, but I mostly thank you for those that are walking beside me that help me understand this. I know it's by your design and how you have made it to be so, by bringing us here as a family, as a people. Lord, we thank you for that. We praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.